your situation. Yeah, go on.
Better.
No, that's Farsi, I think. Yeah, Persian. Yes. That's not Arabic.
Salah.
Salah, yes, a classical one. Salah, how can you miss Salah? No. Salah, again, we use it for prayers. Okay, that's again from Salah, you salli salatan. It's from that word Arabic, which means prayers, which means salutation. It means other meanings as well. So here in this, what we normally use it is for the prayers that we do.
Fasiq.
Fasiq. Yafsuku means to transgress. So fasiq is a person who transgresses the orders of Allah. You know, so he's a fasiq. When you say he's a fasiq, it means he's transgressed the boundaries. You know, he's gone beyond the boundaries of Islam. So you call him hasad. Yes, hasad means to have jealous, to have jealousy. Again, that's from Arabic.
Ittifaq.
Yeah, ittifaq means to cooperate and to unite. Again, that's from Arabic.
Kitab.
Again, kitab, we refer to book. Yes.
Madrasa. Yes.
Madrasa. Yeah, madrasa means a place to study. That's the actual meaning of it. And it's normally used for school, because that's where you place to study. Okay, what else did somebody else say? Muallim. Muallim means teacher. Allama yuallimu means to teach. So muallim means a person who teaches, which is normally a teacher. So you call him muallim. Nur. Nur means light. Again, that's from the Arabic word of nur, yes?
Sadiqeen
means truthful. Sidq. Huh? Gadan. Gadan. Gadan means tomorrow. Zakah. I'm sure everyone gets zakah. You should know that. So zakah, again, zakah means, literally it means to purify. Right? And here it means to give a charity which purifies your wealth. That's why it's called zakah. Okay? We in Urdu say zakat. With the pronunciation of ta, but it means zakah. Because I mean, you don't say the ta. Again, that's a rule of tajweed. Sadaqa. Again, sadaqa means donation, which is an Arabic word. Anything else?
Saum.
Saum, yes, fasting. Saum yasumu sauman. Saum means to fast.
Jabr.
Yes, jabr means to force. And jabr yajburu. It means Jabir, it means a person who has a lot of strength. He's the one that can force. That's why Abdul Jabbar, who is, means the person who's got the most force. Who's got the most force? Allah. Come on. Jogging memories, come on. Let's get those Arabic words flowing. Haq. Yes, Haq is an Arabic word which means truthful. Something which has been established, which is truth. Truth is always established. Yep. And?
Farais.
Huh? Farais. Yes, farais is the plural of fariza. Okay? Yeah, farais means duties. Okay? It has many other meanings.
Baraka.
Huh? Baraka. That's another classic. Yes. Baraka means blessing. Again, that's an Arabic word, which is come, which is also used, it's been transported to Urdu as well.
Rahma.
Rahma. Yes, blessings, mercy. Again, that's an Arabic word.
Rizq.
Rizq, sustenance. Razaqa yarzuqu, to feed. And it's from that. Again, that's an Arabic word. Can you imagine how many Arabic words we're using without knowing that it's Arabic words? Yeah? Who use Alhamdulillah?
Alhamdulillah.
We use Alhamdulillah. That means all praise to Allah. Who use MashaAllah? That's Arabic word. Whatever Allah wishes. Who uses Jazakallah? Again, this our culture, which is based on Islam. Okay? So really and truly, Muslim culture is based on Islam. It is not based on where we come from. or we come from, say, from Bangladesh or India. So no. This is why, if you delve into our culture, you see, a lot of it is Islamic, a lot of it has become non-Islamic due to interaction with others, not knowing that this is un-Islamic and thinking that this is the norm. So we've got a lot of cultures that which is, you know, basically, if you look into our marriages, they all give milk on the day, and they will do this mehndi party. Where did that come from? It's coming from the Indian subcontinent. It's the Hindu tradition. So when we say it's our culture, our culture is not that. Our culture is Islamic culture. Our culture is eating with our right hand. You know, but back nowadays, everyone eats. If you go back in the villages now, they still eat with their hand. But now it's like knife and fork, spoon. Oh, I can't eat without the spoon. Oh, rice, I've got to use a spoon. What is this? The only thing we probably use without a spoon is probably the roti. Everything else is knife and fork. If you go back home, everybody's eating on the floor. Even nowadays, that's, you know, you're very backward if you don't use a chair and table. But before, they never used to use chairs and table because that was the Islamic way. You know, eating with the hand is sunnah. Washing the hand before. Now that you've eaten with tables with the spoon and with the knife and fork, people don't even wash their hands anymore now.
They used to sit down hours and hours and hours. We can't sit down.
Yeah. So these are all the sunnah tradition, and which our culture should be based on that. So it's important that to identify, you know, what needs to be our practices and what needs not to be our practices, and then slowly eradicate them. Because that is why it says in Arabic, "Al-lughatu min al-thaqafa." The language is part of the culture. It's part of the culture. That is why, you know, we sometimes think, oh, ulamas of the past were backward, why didn't they learn English? They had a reason why they didn't learn English. Because by learning the English, you pick up the English way of tradition. Right? Although, you know, to some extent, that was true at that time. You know, that was true at that time. But nowadays, that doesn't need to be the case. That to actually understand any language, you have to, you've got to pick up their way. So, which in one sense, it does help to understand the Arabic language, if you understand the culture of the Arabs. And when we learn in the Quranic language, we go back to our Sahabas, our pious predecessors, how they understood, you know, how did they take the meaning of the Arabic language. Then you understand their culture, and that you bring it into your own culture, and you bring it into your life. And this is what it is. Our Islam is a code, is a way of life, from cradle to death. How to do everything. It's not something specific. It's not something that you just leave in the mosque, and then once you come out of mosque, you know a Muslim, you can do what you want. No, it's not that. Everything is governed by the Sharia. Everything. Not a single thing that you know, there is no guidance. There is guidance for everything. Everything from business to dealings, even having relationship with your wife, eating, drinking, going to toilet, how to put the clothes on, how to take the clothes off, you know, what to do at night. Ooh, everything. You know, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before you go to bed, you should put the fire out. That's a sunnah. Again, when they tell you, even now, you should check all your lights, check all this, everything, so that, where did that come from? This is the sunnah. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already said that. That you should put all this away. Again, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before you go to bed, you cover all your utensils, any food. Why? So that nothing goes inside. It's a sunnah. So the whole sunnah prophetic way is there. It's for our benefit. Are we all ready? Okay. Or can I have my board back then? Yeah, so this is what it is. This is the whole point of learning the Arabic language, is to understand the culture of Islam. You know, why do you think that when they teach you English now, they teach you about, you know, when they give you, got to give an English test. They teach you about history and all that. Why? Because they want you to become like this. It's part of the language, heritage of the language.
Disciples.
And no, the other one first. Okay. Can they hear me?
Yeah.
They can hear me. Yeah. Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, I'd like to apologize to everybody for the delay, for unforeseeable reasons and circumstance. I hope you will all forgive that. Just a quick recap of what we've done last week. Basically, we covered some of the rules and regulations of the Arabic language in terms of Nahw, and we first went over the different categories of love, the kalima. Okay, I hope I'm going to start using the terminologies, so I hope you get used to them, because if I'm just going to keep saying the English, then you're not going to get used to them. So we went through the categories of kalima, and we said the three categories: ism, harf, and fa'l. And we explained what the meaning of ism is, what the meaning of fa'l is, what the meaning of harf is. And we went over we gave some examples of ism and fa'l and harf. Okay, and also in the book we went over how to do the letters at the beginning, how it's done in the beginning, how it's done in the middle, and in the end. And we also went through them in some of the words in terms of how to pronounce them together, that we have done in page 24. Now, from page 29, again, it's going to be a bit of that. But before we go into that, what I would like to do is to explain a bit more about the categories of ism, okay, the noun. Right, we all know that the kalima has three categories: ism, fa'l, harf. Now, ism can be broken into many subcategories. Okay, this is one category. It is called, so ism can be broken into two. One is ismul dhat, one is ismul ma'na. Okay, so one is ismul dhat and one is ismul ma'na. If I can have a ruler. So, ismul dhat, again, that's how you pronounce it, ismul dhat, which means the concrete noun. Which means?
Concrete
noun. The other subcategory is ismul ma'na, okay, which means the abstract noun. The?
Abstract
noun. The proper definition of that, if I dictate it to you, I want you to write it down, please. Ismul dhat, the concrete noun. That noun which denotes a thing and not a quality or state. I repeat, that noun which denotes a thing and not a quality or state. It is self-existent and not attached to anything else.
It is self-existent
and not attached to anything else. Now, can somebody repeat it to me? Any volunteer, please? Okay, go on.
That noun which denotes a thing and not a quality or state, it is self-existent and not attached to anything else.
Right. So what does that mean? It means that it's basically giving basically indicates towards something of its own existence. It does not need anything else, nor is it attached to anything else. Example: faras. Faras means horse. Okay. Now, for horse, this word, to understand it, it is not attached to anything else. To understand it, you can understand faras means horse. Okay. Whereas sawad, black, it has to be attached to something else. It can't be, it's not self-existent. It can't be existent by itself. Okay? For to understand black has to be attached to something else. Say, a blackboard. A black car, a black pen. Black itself is not self-existent. It has to be attached to something else. Whereas this word doesn't need to be attached to anything else. For it, and it's by itself, it is self-existent, and it's a thing which does not indicate towards any quality or a state. Right? I hope I've made myself clear. Ismul ma'na, the abstract noun. Okay, the definition is that noun which denotes a quality or state. That noun which denotes a quality or state. It is attached to another. It is attached to another. Example is sawadun, black. Bayadun, white. These two words are ism, but they come under ismul ma'na. Okay? Because these are not self-existent. For it to exist, it has to be attached to something else. You can't find black by itself. It'll be black, black paint, black board, black pen, black car, black water, black clouds, whatever. It'll be attached to something else. Okay? Or if I give you another example of Riyadun. Riyadun means to. Let me give you another meaning. I'ta'un. I'ta'un means to give. To give, again, for that to happen, it has to be done by somebody or by something. For that to exist, it's done by somebody to give. You can't say, "Oh, this thing is to give." No, somebody has to do that. So it's attached to somebody. Okay, akhdun, to take. To take is not something that you can point to. Oh, that thing there is to take. You can't. That itself is a quality. To take is a quality which will only come into existence by somebody doing that. Yes? To steal. Stealing itself cannot happen. You can't point to something that means to steal. That has to be done by somebody for it to become into existence. So these will become under the category of ismul ma'na. Okay? Ismul ma'na. So can somebody repeat that, the definition? Anybody? Right. Okay. And here's your two examples. Okay. Now, if I turn the board now. Again, ism is categorized into three here. This is another category of ism. Very important that you understand this, because a lot of the things that we're going to learn is related to this now. Ism can either be a masdar, al-masdar, of great transliteration, al-masdar. Or it will be al-mushtaq. Or it will be al-jamid. So this is another category of ism. So either will be al-masdar. Masdar literally means a place where something comes out. A place where something comes out. Here it means the root noun. What does it mean? The root noun. Again, I'll give you definition of every single one. Al-mushtaq, the derivative noun. Al-mushtaq is, can you see, brother?
Yeah.
If you want to come back there now, because it's, we've got system now. We'll come next. Or come and join here if you want, brothers. I think it'd be better if you come here, because this thing was probably covered. Yeah, come here, brother. Al-mushtaq means the derivative noun. And al-jamid means the primary noun. The primary noun. Now let me explain to you each one. So according to its origin, the originality of the word ism, not the word ism, but the noun, the category of ism, it can be categorized into three. So al-masdar, the definition of al-masdar is that noun from which many words are derived. That noun from which many words are derived. It's not there, so please, if you can write what I'm saying. The definition of al-masdar is that noun from which many words are derived. Now if we take an example here, nasrun means to help. Nasrun means to help. Now this is masdar. Why? It's because from this word, many other words are created. Many other words are derived. Many other words are formed from this word, nasrun. Like nasir. You know we said nasir. So many people names. Nasir means the helper. What does it mean? The helper. Also, nasara. He helped. Again, as a verb, it's come out from this word, nasrun. Yansuru, he will help. Again, it's come out from there. Okay? Mansur means the person who's being helped, or the person who has been helped. Again, it's come out from this world. So that is the root noun, which in Arabic you call masdar. It means the word, the noun which is that noun from which many words are derived. So nasrun, to help. Ibadah, we heard of ibadah, means to worship. And from there, abid. You know we say abid? Abid means a worshipper. Ya'budu, he will worship. Ma'bad, a place of worship. These are all words that come out from this word, from this root word, ibadah. As-sujood means to prostrate. Sajada, he prostrated. Sajid, who's heard of the word sajid? So many people named the word sajid. What does that mean? Means a person who prostrates. Masjidun, a place where to worship. Again, it's come from as-sujood. And as-sujood will be under this word, al-masdar. Next one, al-mushtaq, the derivative noun. The definition is that noun which is derived from a masdar. That noun which is derived from a masdar. So example, nasir. Nasir, I'm sure you must have heard nasir. So many names in Reading called nasir, which means helper. This word has been derived from this word, nasrun. So that's a word which has been derived from this word. Okay? Abidun, worshipper. Abidun means worshipper. This word has been derived from this word, ibadatun. So this will be called a derivative noun, meaning a noun that which has been extracted from this word. Then we have al-jamid, the primary noun. The definition of that, that noun which is neither derived from another word nor in any other, nor is any word derived from it. I repeat, that noun which is neither derived from another word nor is any word derived from it. So what does that mean? It's quite simple. A is not derived from another word, nor is that word, nor does any word is derived from there. So this, like this one, al-nasrun, words are, yes, please. That noun, which is neither derived from another word, nor is any word derived from it.
The first one.
This is jamid. Yeah? Yeah. So if you go back to al-masdar, nasrun is not derived from another word, but many words are derived from it. Nasirun, okay, from that word, other words are not derived, but that itself is derived from that word. And jamid is neither this nor this. Example of jamid, rajulun, sorry. Rajulun. Rajulun means a man, person. Farasun. Farasun means horse. What does it mean?
Horse.
Farasun means horse. Now, Rajulun is a word which is not derived from another word, nor does any word derived from that word. So it's an independent word which is not have, doesn't have any connection with any other word. Okay, just to make you just a little, if you write a little note down, Masdar comes under the category of Al-Ismul Ma'na. You know the first category we did? Ismul Ma'na, Ismul Dhat. Masdar comes under the category of Ismul Ma'na. And Mushtaq and Jamid comes under the category of Ismul Dhat. Okay?
Sorry, say that again, please.
Right. Masdar comes under the category of Ismul Ma'na. And Mushtaq and Jamid come under the category of Ismu Dhat. Do we have any papers? Yeah, just in case. We'll do a little test now. Is there anything I need to repeat? Has anybody missed anything? Yes.
Could you repeat the derivative noun definition? I understand that it's basically, it's not a noun which is derived, it's a noun which is derived from a word, but,
So you want to repeat again, yeah? That noun which is derived from a masdar, the derivative noun. That noun which is derived from a masdar.
Right.
Okay, so looks like everyone's got it. Yeah? If you want me to repeat anything, please tell me now. Okay.
Examples of Mushtaq.
Of Mushtaq? There's plenty. Like I said, Sajid, Rabi', Nasir, Hassan, Haseen, Jameel, Rabi', Fahim, what's your name? Huh?
Khalid.
Khalid is Mushtaq? Yes. What's your name?
Naeem.
Naeem, Mushtaq. What's your name?
Ahmed.
Ahmed, Mushtaq. What's your name?
Isa.
Isa, Jamid. What's your name?
Saeed.
Saeed, Mushtaq. What's your name?
Shamail.
Shamail is Jamid. What's your name?
Shehzad.
That's not Arabic word. Huh?
Nabil.
Mushtaq.
Hashim.
Mushtaq.
Saifuddin.
Saif Jamid.
Ar-Rahil.
Ar-Rahil means to leave. Person who's left. Mushtaq.
Shihabuddin.
Shihab. Jamid.
Nu'man.
Jamid. So there you are. You know your category. Now you know you can work which part of your. So basically, just to.
So the name Hashim, Mushtaq, so it comes from.
Hashim. From Al-Hashmu.
Hashim.
Okay. Hashim is a lot of meaning. One means someone who basically can crush everything. You know, Banu Hashim is referring to the Arab tribe.
It's a famous tribe, isn't it?
Huh?
Hashim was a famous tribe.
Yeah, yes, the time of the Prophet. Right. So we said we were going to do a little test, wasn't we? Is it? No one remembers that one. No one remembers that part, does it? Okay, page 24. From my right hand side, I want you to say the one word, then you say the next word, carry on as we go along. Okay? If you start from the first word.
Qara'a.
Qara'a. What does it mean?
Hearing.
Next word.
Shaqara.
Say the meaning.
Yaqifu. He stops. Fahima. He understood.
You're going to be faster. Fahima. Yeah, the Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma. These are short vowels which cannot be stretched. Which cannot be stretched. So the way to pronounce it is quick. Fahima.
Fahima.
That's correct. Next one.
Hasuna.
Again, it's got to be quick. Hasuna.
Hasuna.
Yes, what does that mean?
He was good. Ra'iba, he decided.
Ragiba.
Ragiba.
Ragiba. Gain. Ragiba.
Ragiba.
Okay, next.
Kataba, he wrote.
Ruzika, he was in Dhabi.
A bit faster. Dahika. Next.
Yasifu. He describes.
Next one.
Ulima. It was known.
Next one.
Dahika. He joined.
Start from the beginning again. Next one.
He read.
Shakara. He thanked.
Yeah. So now you've got the gist of. Have I?
All together.
Oh, you haven't said one yet. Let's hear the next one then.
Yaqifu.
Okay, mashallah. Very good. So this is how you say it together. Right? You've had a practice of that. Page 29. Let's put it to the test. Why don't you start from the first one? Page 29, the first one.
Bahata.
Yeah, what does it mean?
He looked for.
Next one.
Thawata. He understood. Sorry, he stood firm.
Please just speak to him. What's in there? Next one.
Shariba. He drank.
Shariba.
Shariba.
Yeah. Say again?
Shariba.
Yeah. Next one.
Nasara.
escaped.
Scattered. Nathara.
Nathara.
Yeah. Tha.
Tha.
Yeah. Nathara.
Nathara.
Yeah. Next one.
Taraka.
What does it mean? Say the meaning.
Just mean he left.
He left. Next one.
Satara. He covered.
Turn the page. Next page, please.
Jama'a,
he gathered. Okay, next.
Sajada, he prostrated.
Yes, next one.
Khuruja, he went out.
Next one.
Hamida, he prayed.
Next one.
Hafida, he protected.
Very good, next one.
Sharaha, he explained.
Okay, next one.
Saraha, he shouted.
Next one.
Fajara.
Huh?
Fajara. Sorry, Fakhara. He boasted.
Again, that's another word that we use normally. Fakhar Ghanna. Fakhar Ghanna. We say, no, it doesn't mean proud. That's me, look. Be proud. Go on, next one.
Dakhala, he entered.
He entered. Okay, very good. So this is how you actually pronounce it, okay? So for the next lesson, you're going to be doing it up to all the way up to, well, not next lesson. This is your preparation. This is your homework that you need to do for until, what was it? Page 43. Page 43. So if you got a book there, okay, what you need to do underneath it, use your book, write out independently, then write it out how it would look like. If it's going to be joined up, then just join it up together and just do it. It shouldn't take too long. I say 43. Sorry?
42 is
going
to like
10
wins.
Yeah.
It's 39.
It's
where it ends.
Oh, sorry, yes. You are right. No. We're going to do Tanween today, don't worry. Yeah, do that. Keep it to 43, don't worry. No, let's not shorten it. Getting very tactful there. Yeah. Okay, so up to page 43. Is what your homework is, okay? So, if you go to page 40, so all the up to page 39 is basically what I've just explained, what to do. Very simple, very easy. You've got your book, just have to sit down, you know, whenever you can, maybe before go to sleep or whatever, you know, instead of putting the TV on, just grab the book and that will take you to sleep very quickly. Okay, if we go to Tanween, we gave a sheet right at the beginning of the first lesson where all the definitions and of all the actual of all the terminologies. Yeah, something like this. Yeah, and they explained what Tanween is. Two fathas, two kasras, or two dhammas. So the three short vowels, fatha, kasra, and dhamma, can be doubled. This is known as tanween. And it changes the sound of the vowels. So basically it gives a N sound at the end. Okay? That's what it is. So tanween, fatha, they said fathatan, or you can say fathatain, whichever, is the two short diagonal strokes written above an Arabic letter. It is pronounced an, as in the English word man, but that's not the real proper pronunciation. It should be mun. Okay? So it M-U-N. Mun. Not man. Okay? So, it is usually supported by an alif. So, whenever there's a fathatan or fathatain, after that there'll be an alif written. Why an alif is written, I will explain in due course. Okay? But at the moment, to way to understand that this letter has a fathatain on it, okay, is if you're reading the Quran, and obviously the Quran will have two fathas on it, but if you was reading an Arabic literature, okay, one of the indication is that there's an alif after it. Remember, Arabic language, the literature itself, will not have any diacritical marks on them. So you, by learning this, you'll know exactly what to read. Should you read Rajulun, Rajulan, Rajulin, you know, Abadan, Gadan, or Gadin. This is what all this grammar is going to teach you, inshallah. So the indication that this has fathatan or fathatain, it will have an alif at the end of that letter. So as you can see, ban, tan. Okay, so I want everybody to repeat after me. An, ban, tan, san, jan, han, hon, dan, zan, run, zan, san, shan, son, bon, ton, von, an, run, fun, on, can, lan, man, nan, han, one, yan. Okay, so that's how you do the fathatain. Then we go to the next one, which is kasratan or kasratain, which again is the two short diagonal strokes written below an Arabic letter, normally below. Sometimes it's not exactly below. You'll see, I'll show you in due course. It is pronounced in, as in the English word win. Now that's slightly better pronunciation, win. Okay, so the way to pronounce it is in,
in,
bin,
bin,
tin,
tin,
thin,
sin,
jin,
jin,
hin,
hin,
khin,
khin,
din,
din,
zin,
zin,
rin,
rin,
zin,
zin,
sin,
sin,
shin,
shin,
sin,
sin,
bin,
rin,
tin,
tin,
zin,
zin,
in,
rin,
rin, fin,
fin,
bin,
kin,
lin, min, nin,
hin,
win, yin. Okay, now we go to the next one, which is the tanween dhamma, dhammatan or dhammatain. This is the two dhammas which is written above an Arabic letter. It is pronounced as un, as in the word, English word, well, bun, it's not bun, it's bun.
That's how we pronounce it in Yorkshire.
Is it? Oh, we'll have to go to Yorkshire now. Bun. Okay. Un.
Un.
Bun.
Bun.
Tun.
Tun.
Sun.
Sun.
Jun.
Jun.
Hun.
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 Dun.
Dun.
Zun.
Zun.
Run.
Run.
Zun.
Zun.
Sun.
Sun.
Shun.
Shun.
Sun.
Sun.
Dun.
Dun.
Tun.
Tun.
Zun.
Zun.
Un,
run,
fun,
fun,
kun,
lun,
mun, nun,
hun,
wun,
yun.
Okay, so that's how you pronounce dhammatain. Okay, if you need to check again, please go to the recording afterwards and you can listen to it afterwards. Okay, this page 43 is the practice of the tanween. So we need to do that as well. So if you can practice on that, how to practice it is basically underneath it, write it, and then say it. You write it, and then you say abin. Okay? Write it underneath, then you say waladun, qalamun, jarasan, asadun, ila akhir, unto the end. Okay? So that's that. And then, for next week, if you just want to have a little quick browse of what we're going to do next week, is basically we'll be doing all the muds, the long vowels. We'll be explaining more of the long vowels and then the practice of those long vowels. Okay? So basically, pretty much up to page 47. So if you want to browse for the next week as well, what we're going to do for next week. Okay? So this is, you know what your homework is. So please, brothers, you know, to stay on top of the game, you do need to do your homework. And remember, this is part, look at it as part of your deen. Right? This is part of your deen. So if you look at it that way, then you'll understand the importance of why we're learning it. Okay? Obviously, there's other benefits to it, but that's not the reason. It's like I gave the example of a cow. You buy the cow for the milk, you get manure free. Okay? So likewise here, this is... The whole essence of it is to try to understand, you know, when we recite the Quran, we understand what it's saying, and then making that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting closer through his book and through the book of Allah. Okay, I've got some phrases which you can write down and inshallah learn them in due course. Something that you can use during your time, maybe when you go for Umrah or whatever in our country. Kamisa, okay, which means what is the time? Kamisa. If you want to ask somebody, okay, Kamisa.
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 أي اليوم هذا؟ What day is it today? أي اليوم هذا؟ They say هذا يوم الاثنين. Today is Monday. أي اليوم هذا؟ What day is it today? The third phrase, ما شغلك؟ What is your job? So, what do you say? Probably five. I'm a driver. My job is a driver. Shughli tabaq. Wa ana tabaq. I'm a chef. Wa ana muhandis. I'm an engineer. But these are different words you can use. Ma shughluk, what is your job? What is your profession? What do you do? Kama umaruk. What is your age? What is your age? Say, Kam Omar. The boy can reply, Omari, Omar Talatun. My age is 39. Omari, Omar Talatun. The numbers, I'll explain in due course, half the numbers. Okay? But simple phrases, simple words, simple questions that you can ask. Kam Omar, what is your age? So we've got four phrases. Can everybody remember what the first phrase of the first lesson was? Yeah, and? Then?
Mahada.
And what else?
Manhada.
And?
Manhada.
Oh, the second thing, what was it?
No, that was
the first one. That's very good. Wasn't it? Oh. That's a double effort. So we've got these phrases. Kamisa!
Kamisa.
What is the time? Sa'at al-Samina. Sa'at al-Samina. Manas. It is half of mine. Ayyu al-Yawmi hada? What day is it today? Al-Yawm, Yawm al-Ithnin. Today is Monday. Ma shughluk? What is your job? Shughli imamun. Ana imam fil masjid. Form an imam in the mosque. Wa anta, anta shurtiyun. You're a policeman. Kam umaruk? What is your age? Kam umaruk? So there's slightly difference between one after a male or female. Okay, so if it's like you want to ask the female about her job, you would say, obviously, well, what we just saw in Mashoglu. That's how you would say to a woman as well. But if you really want to break it down even further, you say Mashogluki. Mashogluka. Shogluka is referring to a man, Shogluki is referring to a woman. But again, how to, you know, words for man and a different word for woman.
Not always.
There's other things like this. There's a star around star that gives the indication that this is a feminine. Mm. And then you've got the kasra. Mm. And there's also other things. Mm. Some word by itself is feminine. Like in English, when you refer to a land, you went to war. Husna. Husna. Husna is beautiful.
Hassan,
Ahsan, and Husna.
But that's the feminine word, isn't
it? We'll go into that probably in the course. So,
Marukka or Maruka?
Is it Kum?
Kam Umaruk. Kam Umaruk. Da'in. Kam Umaruk. Did they copy this down? They copied everything down, yeah? They didn't get that one. Well, if you're referring to a man, mashugluka, but normally when you speak, you don't actually pronounce the last haraka on the letter. Mashugluk.
What's your hobby?
You can say hobby or profession. Used for many words. Any questions related to what we did today? Anything you didn't understand, we can go over it while they're writing down. Any other definition that you need to put more clarity, didn't really get a full grasp of it? There's a saying in Arabic, yes?
Isn't ismul ma'na similar to al harf?
No.
By your definition?
No. Harf is basically a particle which, for it to understand, you need an ism or a fail attached to it. Understand? And this one, ismul ma'na, is basically a name of something, but it's not independent for its existence. It has to be attached to something. So like al-bayad. Bayad is white. White is a name, isn't it? But for you to understand it, for it to come into existence, it has to be attached to something else. Okay? This is why the Arab language is very rich, and it's very has a lot of meaning to it.
We left it too late.
Sorry? Nothing is too late. Nothing is too late. We learn from cradle to death. Yeah, I think it's too late. Matter of fact, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us tawfiq even at this age. And this is in shakartum la azidannakum. Allah says those if you thank and be grateful, then I will increase the ni'mah. So He'll give us more opportunity. And I was about to say that it's important that we ask. There's a saying in Arabic, Al-ulumu aqfalun, that knowledge is like locks. Wal-as'ilatu mafatihuha, and the questions are the keys to those locks. So if you want to really understand, you've got to ask questions. Okay? That's one thing you cannot be shy about. If you be shy in this, you will lose out. Simple as that. Okay? Everything has a place, has its place. Shyness should be in when doing a sin. Should be shy. No, I can't be doing this. Not in gaining the knowledge in doing good things. There's no shyness in there. Yeah? So that's where our shyness should be. And that is what, when they say Al-Haya Shu'batun Mil Iman, Prophet ﷺ said that Haya and modesty and being feeling kind of shame, not in the shame as if feeling shamed, but this having that kind of hijab and that barrier to stop you from doing something. That is a big, that is a big portion of deen. You know? إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتْ. Prophet ﷺ says, if you lost your modesty and you lost your shame, you can do whatever you want. Then you have no. But once you have that modesty built within you, then that becomes a barrier of doing from doing sins. And our modesty and our shame is with, first of all, with Allah. Nobody's watching, but Allah is watching.
Yeah.
It says in the hadith that even if you're in the room by yourself, if need, you know, you should try at most not to dress naked there as well. Why? The angels are there. Have shame, have modesty in front of them. This is how much Islam teaches us. That even when you're going into basically unnecessarily dressing down, you only dress down when you need to. Like if you need to go to the bathroom, to the toilet, or you have a relationship with your wife. Otherwise, no. Even if you're in the room by yourself, you don't sit down with shorts and just sit down and chill out watching the movie, it's really nice and hot. Again, that's wrong. People do that. They walk around the hall, walk around the house with the nice shorts and think it's normal. That's not normal. That's showing your satr. That's showing the path that you're not supposed to be showing. And people do that. And that's wrong. So the thing is, when it comes to learning, when it comes to learning the deen of knowledge, there is no shame. How do we know how Prophet ﷺ did had relationship with his wife? How did we get to know? Was there any of us went and asked Prophet ﷺ here? No. It was the Sahabas. It's the Inquisition, the hunger for knowledge. They wanted to know how Prophet ﷺ did everything. How did my beloved went to the toilet? The wives told, this is how he did it. This is what he read when he was copulating with his wife. So how was this knowledge passed to us? It's because they asked about these things. So in these things you don't have shame. Because these are the things that will make us closer to our Lord. Yeah? So it's very important that when it comes to the knowledge of deen, we don't have shame. We want to know about something, we go and ask. But it's a matter of deen, we don't. Oh, Aji, what's he going to say? Oh, I don't know this. No, it's not knowing. This may be the salvation from you from the fire of hell. Just one simple thing could be the means from saving yourself from fire of hell into and getting yourself entering the Jannah. So never belittle any knowledge. Don't think it's smaller. No. We don't know which is great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every knowledge, that's why it says, learning one ayah, one verse, is more greater than performing 1,000 rakat of salah. Why? Knowledge is so great. Because knowledge gives a man the torch, which he can then shine in the light, in the darkness. Then he will know what he's picking up. Is he picking up a stick or is he picking up a snake? That is what knowledge gives a person. That he will know what's right and wrong. He will know, is this the path that will lead me to destruction? Or is this the path that will lead me to eternal success? So this is why I say, never ever feel ashamed. Man or woman, you go ask the people of knowledge. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the command of our beloved creator. This is him telling us that this is what you need to do. You go and ask the people of knowledge if you do not know something. Man, woman, do not feel shy. Because on the day of judgment, no one's going to help you for not knowing something and doing and transgressing the borders. But who's going to help? Oh, well, shy, no. So we need to learn these things. So all this knowledge that was passed down is because of the inquisition of and inquisitiveness of the Sahabas. And they wanted to know. Because they knew that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a role model. Whatever he did, he was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Quran says that he did not speak from his own desires, but it was a revelation that was given to him. Whatever he said, whatever he did, was all guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the way in which Allah is giving his making connection with us. He's telling us, this is how I want you to be. How the only way we can reach to Allah is through Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is my beloved, do what he does and you will reach to me. You do that and I will be pleased with you. And if I become pleased with you, then guarantee of success, which is eternally to stay in Jannah. How do we know Allah is pleased with us? We're not going to see a big massive smile on him. He's pleased. No. He's showing that he's pleased with us is by giving us entry to Jannah. And how is he going to show his displeasure? He's not going to say, no, he's going to throw you into fire of hell. That's his way of showing that he's displeased with you. So madharul ghadab, the showing of anger, the place where he will show his anger is in Jahannam, an-nar, the fire of hell. And madharul ridwan, the place where he will show his happiness is Jannah. That he is happy. Right? So this is why we at all times, especially when we're here, we come to learn knowledge. Remember, first of all, we make our intention sincere that we learn knowledge to gain closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always make dua to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala accepts it. And remember, knowledge is something that we've got to seek it. We've got to want it. Then Allah will give it to us. Allah is not going to put it into somebody's head for nothing. Okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq, inshallah.
Just quickly make an announcement. Just like to apologize. It was actually me being late why the lesson was delayed. So it's not Imam Sahib's fault. Please forgive me for my lateness. And also, if you have any outstanding fees, just please quickly see me afterwards, or you know, speak to me about any issues regarding payment, inshallah.
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. So how was today's lesson then? Was it informative? Was it, did it put you to sleep?
There's a lot of work to do.
What you can also do is look at your colleagues that were not here today. Maybe give them a call. Why they weren't here? A, if they're ill or something, you get the reward of making inquiries about their health and everything. B, they know they've been missed. So they make the effort coming to the next lesson.
It's interesting what you say. I know you're doing, but they say, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
Just always say there's no such thing as a stupid question.
No.
Okay, but my reason is to join this class to go to study a Quran Pak.
Inshallah.
This is the basic.
This will help you slightly, but we're going to have a short tajweed class. Separate tajweed class.
When we're going
we had one recently. We had one before.
No one knows what to say. Like,
okay. Maybe you should. We had no connection. Alhamdulillah, that was quite full as well. But we're going to have future classes. We always have. The last 2 years we've been having classes. Now that you've come to this masjid, now you know, inshallah, you're on the database now, you will get emails for every single course that will happen.
Well, I'm going to be, going to be start a learning, a beginning of Quran Pak, because that's my, it doesn't matter, it takes me, I've learned 5 to 6 years,
हम इसे क्लास शुरू करेंगे जो बिगिनर्स के लिए एडल्ट्स के लिए वो भी करेंगे इंशाल्लाह दैट्स गोना बी लॉन्ग टर्म दैट्स मोर लाइक वन ईयर टू ईयर एवरी week maybe one or two days this is like short course we're doing but that's gonna be long term
this one is already start helping me was to a reading the Quran and Pak but I don't want to go into it the reason why because I want to learn from the beginning the what I'm learning from here from the beginning I want to make my sound as from the beginning of the Quran the way you got the sound That's kind of
inshallah.
So, and that's what mission is. And I don't know how long will it take me, but that's what I want to do.
Inshallah.